This time, Lord, we thank you for the word that you mean to teach us and bring forth in us, Father. The word that you mean to unveil into our very being in spirit, soul, and body, in heart and in mind, in thought, word, and in deed, in intent, attitude, desire, and imagination, in object and purpose, in will and emotion. The word that you mean to unveil into our character, our nature, our personalities, in conscious, subconscious, and unconscious terms. We thank you, Father, that it is your desire, Father, to teach us your word. It is your desire that we be all taught by God. And we pray, Father, that as you continue to work into us, O God, the spirit and life of Jesus, as you continue to perfect us in the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will truly unveil in us, O God, a new process of thought, a new process of intent and desire, a new thinking process, Father, an entirely new creation in Christ Jesus, Father. Even as you used your word to create the universe, Father, we pray that you will indeed manifest the word in us, Father. Draw us into your word. Enable us to receive and realize your word. Enable us to understand your word and bring forth in us, O God, a reality of knowing you, loving you, and belonging to you, Father. That the word released into our hearts, the word released into our souls, the word released into our minds, O God, will unveil, O God, strength in us, Father, in the spirit and life of Jesus. Strength, O God, built in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strength, O God, unveiled in his love for us, Father. That we may arise, O God, and walk in a newness of life, Father. So bring into us through your word the life of Jesus, Father. Bring into us, O God, through your word, the spirit of Christ Jesus, Father. That spirit of prophecy that will bring fulfillment into our lives. That spirit of prophecy, Father, that will enable us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So we pray, Father, that even as you teach us, that you will equip us, O God, to do all that is right and true before you. That you will equip us, O God, to walk before you in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we look forward to what you're going to write into our hearts today, Father. We look forward to what you're going to manifest in substance within us, Father. We look forward to the unveiling, O God, of your word in light within us, O God. So we pray, let your word come forth, Father. Let your voice, O God, be communicated into the innermost parts of our being, Father. Let your voice, O God, be communicated with meaning and purpose, with a conviction and with a confidence, Father, that will enable us to rise as creatures of destiny, Father, sons of the Most High God, Father, sons created in the fullness of Jesus Christ, sons created and molded in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no longer a distinguishing between Jew and Gentile. There is no longer a distinguishment, Father, between man and woman. There is no longer a distinguishment, Father, between slave and free man, Father. For we are all sons of the living God through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that you will clothe us with the Spirit of Christ and unveil us, O God, to the awesome promises that you have released to us in your word, Father. Let your will be done in each one of our lives. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we pray for the unveiling of the name of Jesus in the tablets of our heart. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are on module 2. Being taught of God. And last week we looked at the fact that being taught of God is alive in the scriptures, right? Being taught of God is alive in the scriptures. It is something that is so fundamental and necessary for all of us. If we are not taught by God, we cannot receive and realize the things that eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, things that have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. That's a verse that comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Right? Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, things which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has for those who love him. So being taught by God is something very fundamental to everything that we are going to receive and realize from God in all eternity. Being taught by God is very fundamental to everything else God is going to do with us. Because if we are not taught the right way, we can never do things the right way. Why do we say that? Our entire lives have taught us that. So we need to be taught. We need to be taught right. We need to hear and listen to what God has for us. We need to have a heart in which God has unfolded His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding. We need the abundance of God to be alive to us at all times, in all situations, in all circumstances. So the flow of Scripture has the intent of teaching us. Never forget that. If God doesn't teach us, we cannot know things. So it's very fundamental to our creation in Christ Jesus that we be taught. Taught how to think, taught how to do things, taught how to speak the right things, taught how to relate, to unfold the right character, to unfold, right, the right personality, to be unfolded as a total being in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Today we want to see the flow of Scripture in being taught by God. Alright, there are some fundamental verses that we want to establish, and it needs to be unveiled in you in a thought process. That means you must expect this to be done in your lives. Alright, right at the beginning, when God gave His law to Moses, right, we have said that the foundations of the Word of God are built on the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Right? The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Right? The first five books of the Bible are very loosely called the law. Right? And then there are the prophetic books. Right? Even in the books of history, there are prophetic words that we need to receive and realize. Okay? Prophetic meaning that which is to be fulfilled. Right? That which has its potential of fulfillment in God. All right? So we need to understand and realize this flow of thought that God has for us. This flow of thought that God has for us. Praise the Lord. So in the book of Exodus, we see God tell Moses something. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Verse 8 and 9, let's just read that for context. Moses is told to build a tabernacle. And let them construct a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell among them. According to all that I am going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all of its furniture, just so you shall construct it. So there is a construct of the sanctuary, and it has a very definite pattern. Right? Now, one of the themes of this sanctuary, now we call ourselves the Tabernacle School of Ministry simply because the theme of Scripture is to build each one of us as tabernacles in God, tabernacles of God, each one of us a unique creation in Christ Jesus. It is God's purpose to make each one of us a living sanctuary, right? And there is a theme to this establishment of the tabernacle or the sanctuaries of God. Verse 16. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. The testimony which I shall give you. And that's what we want to focus about today. The testimony. God testifies. God's name is by definition a testimony. I am who I am. I am that I am. I am who I am, you find in Exodus chapter 3. Right, from verse 13 to verse 15, God declares His name, I am who I am, and then He declares and proclaims His name as the memorial name. You find that term, memorial name, spoken of in the New American Standard. All right, that translation, the memorial name. Right, and the purpose of the testimony is to establish this living memorial within us. For instance, when we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. That remembrance is based on the testimony of Jesus that we have received and realized. It is the testimony of Jesus that is made alive in our being. So right at the beginning, God says, I want to give you a testimony. I want to testify of who I am, and I want to testify of all that I am. And when I testify of who I am and all that I am, that is the word that I want to give you. So we find here the picture that God says, I want to give you a testimony. Let's turn to verse 21. Exodus chapter 25, verse 21. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. You see, the testimony that God gives us is spiritually under the mercy seat, the throne of grace that stands before God. That throne of grace the testimony that God gives us stands before the throne of grace. So the intent of the testimony is to give you a position before God. To give you a position before God, a spiritual position. As you receive and realize the testimony of God in your heart, it gives you a position before God. Obviously, as the testimony increases and the richness of the testimony in your heart grows, you rise into a higher and higher spiritual position before God. So you need to understand that that's the only way you can become a vessel or a servant of the living God, a priest of the living God, a prophet of the living God. Whatever your calling may be, the testimony that God gives you is what is crucial. All right? The testimony that God gives you is what defines your position. Your position doesn't come from an organization. Your position doesn't come because somebody says so. Your position comes because you actually occupy a place before God. And that's a place you occupy by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. That is a position you occupy by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Nobody can bluff this position. You either have it or you don't have it, right? You can't wing it, you can't con it, you can't cook it, right? It's there, it's there. The moment you speak, it will manifest. So you need to understand that, all right? So remember the teaching that we had, that God gives you the word in order to create within you a witness, right? Remember those words from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14 and 15, that God has given us the word in our mouth and in our heart. And between the area of our mouth and our heart, God is building a witness. That witness is the testimony that we have realized. And it is the intention of God to define all of His word between your mouth and your heart. Why does He say mouth? Because all that God puts into your heart is defined, right, according to what you can speak forth in your mouth with conviction. Are you with me? With conviction, with confidence, with purpose, with direction, with intent. All right? Are you with me? The word of God has the intent of being performed by God, right? We said that. Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 and 12. Right? That the word of God has the intent of being performed. Now you and I are the vessels in which and through which God is going to perform His word. Now He's going to do that by establishing His word as a living testimony inside of you. That living testimony is a witness. When the testimony that God puts into your heart comes alive by the Holy Spirit, it is in a witness state. And your word and your mouth can proclaim it. Are you with me? So we are made in the image of God. God spoke, there was let there be light, and there was light. Same process being manifested in your life and my life. Are you with me? Let there be light, and there was light. So we are called to manifest that through our mouths, declaring the truths of God. Remember, the word of God carries light. The revealed word unfolds light. Amen? So when God gives you a testimony, He unfolds that testimony in a radiance. Right? In a radiance of the light of life. Okay? So God says, I will give you a testimony, and this testimony will give you a position before me. That's what He's outlining. Right? Right from the start, He's outlining this fact in Exodus chapter 21. Let's read that again. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. And there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. There is something very deep being unveiled here, but I just want to focus on this, that God will commune with us, right? In this position that He is bringing us into. That is His purpose and His will, right? And God communicates via a testimony. God communicates through a witness that He wants to develop in your being. Right? We have said that the voice of God is many waters. So God speaks on a humongous reality. All we can receive is a part of that. All right? Are you with me? All we can receive is a part of that.
But that part which you are called to receive, that part which you are called to realize, you realize it and bring it forth through your life. All right? So God wants to communicate with us, and the result of that communication is a witness. All right? A witness. Okay? All right? A witness that God has given you. And you know that it is something that God has given you. You didn't cook it up. You received it. You realized it. It was the work of God inside of you. So God wants to give us a testimony. And the purpose of giving you that testimony is to give you a witness that you can then carry into the nations. Right? A witness that you can then speak into the nations. You can speak into human lives. And lives will be touched. Are you with me? Because your witness communicates the testament of God. Your witness communicates what God has chosen to unfold through your peculiar life. We are not copies of each other. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We have read in the Psalms that the sum total of God's thoughts over each one of our lives are vast. Now those thoughts that God expresses, He means to unveil through a witness that He wants to build into our lives. He wants to build into our being. Are you listening? Amen? And you must understand that. This has got nothing to do with how capable you are, how smart you are, what your IQ is, what your EQ is, how many degrees you have, right? This is the intent of God with your life. It is the purpose and destiny of God over your life because you are called to be a son unto God. Now when we use phrases like son unto God, we mean both masculine and feminine gender. Alright? And we base this on Galatians chapter 3. Alright? Galatians chapter 3. Let's just turn to that very quickly. Galatians. Chapter 3, from verse 26 to verse 28. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. All right? So we will use terms in the masculine gender, but it doesn't mean we leave out the women folk. All right? And we need to understand that in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Okay? Are you with me? God created women to walk with the man, side by side, complementing. All right? So while a woman is not a man, positionally, God spiritually means to bring forth His best in each one. All right? And we need to understand that. Let's go. So we have established the fact that God wants to bring forth a testimony. And the intent of that testimony is to create a witness within us. All right? Let me just very quickly show you one verse that tells you how important this witness is. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He obtained the witness. Very important for us to understand. He obtained the witness. Right? He obtained the witness. The testimony of God became a witness within him. Right? It had become a reality within him. It had brought forth something of God inside of him. And he realized that he was pleasing to God. And when he realized he was pleasing to God, God took him. Are you listening? When he realized he was pleasing to God, God took him. Now all of us must discover the fact that we are pleasing to God. You must know that you are doing things the right way, the way God wants you to do them. You must realize that as a witness within you. It is not based on what you see outside of you. It is not based on how many great works you have done. It is not based on how big your ministry is. It is based on the witness you carry in your heart. So you can't bluff it. There are many ways to do things in the kingdom of God. Some of them are the way God wants them to be done. Other ways are the ways we think they should be done. But God wants to see the witness that says that you are pleasing to God. That what you have brought forth testifies that God has done a great work in your life. You have a responsibility to move in that direction. All right? So when God wants to teach you, the intent is to manifest His testimony and ultimately make it a witness through you. Now that witness you can function in. That witness you can use. That witness you can proclaim. You can achieve things through that witness. Are you with me? When your mouth proclaims something, it speaks through the witness you have realized inside of you. If the witness inside of you is a witness of fleshly carnality, your mouth will speak in that abundance. Right? That's why Jesus said, it is not what comes inside of you that defiles you, it is what comes out of you. Right? It is the witness, right, that defiles the temple. Right? The intent of the temple is holiness unto God. The intent of the temple is righteousness and holiness of the truth. The intent of the temple is to proclaim a message of love. The testimony of God is that He is love. The testimony of the cross is the fact that God is love. And the witness we are called to receive and realize is the witness that is meant to explain all those things to others. It is meant to proclaim it into their lives. It is meant to declare it over their lives. It is meant to minister life to them. One day, you are asked to have a witness that will have such a capacity that it will bless nations. So you need to understand your destiny. You need to understand that this destiny is the creative work of God. This destiny that God means to bring forth through your life is going to be created through the word that He brings into your heart. The word that He's going to bring to life as a witness that is going to be proclaimed through your mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 says that Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Jesus Christ is the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Apostle meaning the messenger. He brings into you the testimony of God. High priest meaning he will manifest, he will take what you are bringing forth out of your mouth. Right? He's going to take what comes out of your mouth and present it before God. Are you with me? So he is the apostle, the messenger, and the high priest of your confession. So remember that. So the word of God is meant to bring forth this confession through a witness that God wants to establish between your mouth and your heart. Amen. Jesus Christ said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Right? Somewhere in that area is the heart that we are talking about. The innermost part of the man. The innermost part of our being. Alright? So when we talk about the word being released into your heart, we are talking about something like that. Alright? Okay, praise the Lord. So God wants to give you a testimony. So very important that you understand that. And the purpose of that testimony is so that you will unfold a witness. Right? The whole stature of your being is measured by the witness you carry. The whole stature of your being, the whole stature of your calling is established in the witness that you carry. And that witness stands before God. Are you with me? So we've got the basic pattern, right? How is God going to teach you? He's going to teach you so that you will have a witness. He's going to teach you such that you will occupy a position. Hello? In our educational system, we try and do that sort of a thing too. Educate you and hopefully you will occupy a position. But in the kingdom of God, the intent is far greater, right? The work of God is much more profound. All right? God wants to manifest, right, a witness within you that will give you a position of authority before Him. Okay? So pay heed to the word of God. Pay heed to what God is bringing into your heart. Pay heed to what God is unveiling through the word. What are the realities that God is unveiling to you? Because He's going to take those realities contained in the word and bring them into a living witness within you. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Do you understand that? Okay? Be healed. That is a witness. Right? But in that witness, there stands a reality. A reality of a person being healed. And you are the instrument to bring that message forth. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Okay. So this witness God wants to bring into your life. Now let's see the flow of scripture to unfold this witness. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31. When you read the scriptures, you find that God took Moses into Mount Sinai. And in verse 18, he tells us what resulted from that. And when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony. Tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Now what does this word stone mean? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, verse 24. At the last bit of that verse, from there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So what is the purpose of these tablets of stone? To unveil to you the leading of the shepherd of Israel. To bring forth into you the conviction of the stone of Israel. In the New Testament, you are told that you are a living stone. Have you heard that? Right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You are a living stone. Right? We are living stones. Okay. So God is saying that these tablets of the testimony are going to be made of stone. And through this, the tablets of the testimony, God will become the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Can you see that? Okay? The shepherd, the stone of Israel. There are many different other pictures, like God is the rock. Right? The rock that is higher than I. That's what David says in one of his psalms. Okay? But the rock that is higher than you is to be manifested into a reality inside of your heart. Okay? You can see the reality of those tablets of stone as a confidence in God, as a strength in God, as a conviction in God, as a, what shall I say, something that is absolutely unshakable, like an oath formed into you, right? That you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that that's going to be done. Are you with me? Right? Okay. So these tablets of the testimony were the work of God, written by the finger of God. Now let's turn to Exodus chapter 32. Verse 16, verse 15 and 16. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work. And the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. So those tablets were entirely the work of God. They were not the work of Moses. They did not express Moses' spiritual stature. They did not express what position he occupied. They were entirely the work of God. Are you with me? They were entirely the work of God. Amen. Okay. And this in this work of God, God meant to unveil himself as the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Okay. The shepherd, the stone of Israel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's turn to the New Testament to see the flow of this scripture, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to read selected portions of verse 3. You are a letter of Christ. I'm using the New American Standard. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. If you have a New King James Version, you find that there it is said that the hearts are of flesh. So we're going to put those two versions together and get this whole picture. That you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. Amen? Human hearts of flesh. And that is the system in which God is going to communicate His testimony into you. That's the way in which God is going to communicate His word into you. He's going to make it flesh inside of you. He's going to make it flesh inside of you. And you need to understand that. All right? So those two tablets, right, of the testimony now are told, now we are told that they are meant to be our hearts. Our heart. All right? And you need to understand that in this, God tells us that He unveils a position. Let's look at the next verses. Verse 4, and such confidence we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So you see, through these the tablets of the testimony, God makes you adequate. He gives you an adequacy for all things that He wants to bring forth in your life. So you see, there's great purpose and intent in the way in which God is going to communicate His word into you and teach you. Are you listening? Right? He's going to make you adequate. All right? Not that we are adequate in ourselves, verse 5, to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. You see, those tablets of stone are meant to reveal a covenant inside of you. A covenant. You see, when God teaches you His testimony, when God communicates His testimony to you, the intent is to fashion and form a covenant with you. A covenant is an agreement. He's making an offer. You accept it, becomes a contract. A contract that becomes a covenant in your heart. And the witness that God develops inside of you is a witness that is a contract. A legal contract based on the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the prophets, which we shall discuss shortly. Are you with me? And the fulfillment of the Psalms, right? All those desires that David put into the Psalms. Right? God will fulfill them. But He will fulfill them in a covenant. Are you with me? And that covenant is going to be fashioned and formed in your heart. So, the reality of the Word of God is not an intellectual discourse. It is a spiritual discourse. And that spiritual discourse is called a covenant. It is binding. It is binding on you. It is binding on God too. And when God gives you something, He will give it to you. Now, one of the things you have to learn is that it is God who makes the covenant sustainable. Why do we say that? Because there was an angel called Lucifer who also had a covenant with God. And that covenant was broken. Right? He broke it because he did not look to God to sustain that covenant. So unlike any human covenant that we may enter into, the sustainability of the covenants of God rests with Him. So the sustainability of that covenant in your heart is based on your relationship with God. Right? That's why He defines that position as being before His mercy seat. Right? Hello? That covenant is sustained not by legalism. That covenant is sustained by grace and mercy. Right? That's why God's throne is called a throne of grace. Amen? So you need to understand that you stand before God by grace. So this is a covenant of grace. It is not a covenant based on the way we write legal contracts. Right? You break the clauses in the contract and the contract is invalidated. Right? But here, it is a covenant of mercy and grace. Right? So inbuilt into this covenant is the fact of God's mercy and God's grace and God's love for you. So this covenant is a very peculiar covenant. It's a covenant that is built on a relationship. Now the highest form of that relationship is a marriage covenant. Right? The highest form of that relationship is a marriage covenant. It's a covenant between a husband and his wife. And that wife is called the bride. So this is a marriage that has a contract. But this contract is maintained based on mercy and grace and love and forgiveness. Amen? This covenant is made on the basis of God making us adequate. Can you catch that? Right? So therefore you can enter into this covenant freely without any fears, without any hang-ups. It's got nothing to do with how adequate you are in yourself. It is not the adequacy that comes from us. It's the adequacy that comes from God. Amen? So when God teaches you, He's always making you adequate. When God teaches you, there is always this reality of His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness and His love that you must come and catch hold of. Hello, this is not sitting for the examination systems of the world. But in the same token, don't trample on God's grace either. Don't take Him for granted either. Alright? So we need to understand that this adequacy that God wants to bring into our lives, it is from Him. Praise the Lord. Okay? So if you lack understanding, ask. If you lack wisdom, ask. If you want to know something, seek after it. It will be opened. Right? If you want something to be open to you, knock at the heart door of His heart. It will open. Right? It will open. It will open at the time when God knows that you can understand what it means for it to be opened. Or you will know how to function with that open door. So that's why Jesus keeps telling us to ask, to seek, and to knock. Right? You need to understand that. Okay? Praise the Lord. Verse 6, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So the purpose of this covenant is to bring life. And the person who makes this covenant workable is called the Holy Spirit. Right? He's called the Holy Spirit. So what have we seen so far? That there is a flow to the way in which God teaches us. Right? He has an intent of manifesting into the tablets of our heart His workmanship. So your heart is meant to be the work of the Lord your God. The writing that is engraved on your heart is to be of the finger of God. And the substance of your heart, that heart of flesh, is to also be of God. It is to be of something that God brings into your life. You need to understand that. Praise the Lord. So the good word that God wants to tell you is that being taught by God is 100% the work of God. But you have to listen and you have to give heed to what God is speaking through His word. Your job is to hear and receive. Praise the Lord. Your job is to hear and receive, to accept the word of God. To accept the word of God. Right? Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. We did this verse last week, or the week before that, can't remember, right? But Mark chapter 4, verse 20. This is the ending verse of the parable of the sower. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil, the soil of your heart. And they hear the word and accept it, right? They hear the word and accept it. And bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Right? You must learn how to receive the word of God in your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's very key to your understanding. Let's look at verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. Right? The seed is the word. The soil is the soil of your heart. Right? And if it's good soil and it has accepted the word of God, this is what happens. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day and the seed sprouts up and grows. How he himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Right? When the word of God becomes a living witness inside of you, that's harvest time. Hello, that's fruit bearing time. When there is a witness of the word inside of you, you can speak it forth, it will be done. Right? Obviously, it's a process that takes time. Right? But the moment you start having that witness and you have you are able to proclaim that witness, you will start seeing the harvest come in. You will see that you will start having effects on words you speak into people's lives. The harvest will begin. At first it seems to be a very small harvest, but as you continue to persevere in the things of God, that harvest will increase. Amen? That harvest will increase and there will be an abundance. So keep going after the word of God, asking God to build that witness, right? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold measures of growth are unknown to human technology. Right? The problem why we seem to have a slow growth process is because we are starting from a zero base. Hello, everything has to be built from scratch. Right? You are born again. At that point, everything is point zero. You have just been opened to the kingdom of God. From that point onwards, everything has to be built. Gradually, God has to build it. Are you with me? There is that rapid growth, but the thing is you can't measure it. Right? But after some time, you find that you can measure the growth and it starts becoming tangible and more tangible. Alright? So the first few years of Christianity, of your Christian life, sometimes seem to be very slow. You sometimes wonder, what is God doing with me? Right? But suddenly there is a takeoff. Right? So don't get disappointed. Don't get discouraged. But remember, the word of God must be manifested in your heart. And that word must be accepted. If you don't accept, right, the offer is being made. If you don't accept it, there is no basis for covenant. Right? There is no basis for covenant. And you must understand that when God teaches you, He is building covenant. He's not just teaching you and giving you information. There is definite intent and purpose to that information. Right? That knowledge has got a purpose. It has an objective. He means to use that knowledge and bring forth fruitfulness from your life. Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So prove to be my disciples. Right? Praise the Lord. Okay? Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. Are you listening? Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. So you see, the purpose of God putting his word into you is a very great purpose. That whatever you ask will be done. That whatever you seek will be open to you. So you see, the intent is very, very great. But God also tells you that he cannot give you authority like that and give you a position like that if you do not have the right things inside of you. That's why the tablets of your heart are the work of God. They are 100% the work of God. Right? They are the righteousness of God unveiled in you. And that's why Isaiah says that the righteousness of man is filthy rags. So we cannot bring the righteousness of man before God. Because these kind of desires that God has, this kind of ambition that God has over your life, cannot come from crooked ways or half-baked ways. Alright? They have to come based on the righteousness of God. So when God teaches you, he has the purpose of unfolding his righteousness through your life. Unfolding what he can bring forth by the Spirit in the name of Jesus through your life. Okay? So the law has been fulfilled. How is the law fulfilled? It is fulfilled through the tablets of your heart that become the work of God. Amen? So it is not fulfilled by you trying to practice the law. It is fulfilled by God working the realities of His law into your heart and bringing forth a fulfillment inside of that. Correct? So, very simply, the law says, thou shalt not steal. God takes that word and He brings it to fullness inside of you through the nature of Jesus Christ. And when He brings it inside of you through the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ will never steal. So in the fulfillment of the law, God brings into us the adequacy of God that comes from God. He works into you the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He breaks the shackles of sin. He sets you free from being under the law, and He brings you into the freedom and liberty of walking in the nature of Jesus Christ unveiled in you by the Holy Spirit. When you have the fruits of the Holy Spirit, you are set free from the law. Are you listening? All right. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Right? So the fulfillment of the law is brought into you by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit are the nature of Jesus Christ worked into your being. And as you have a desire to receive and realize the nature of Jesus Christ, you are set free from your sin. And the law has got no longer an authority over you. You are walking now into the fulfillment of the law. You are realizing the freedom and liberty of the nature of Jesus Christ brought into you by the Holy Spirit. So our adequacy is from God. And we have a covenant not of the letter. We have a covenant of the Spirit. And in this covenant, the Holy Spirit works into us the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And that realization sets us free from the law of sin and death. That realization sets us free and brings us into a liberty of living by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. Amen. So we need to understand and know this flow of the Scripture in the fulfillment of the law. What about the prophets? Now this flow of the Scripture that we just talked about was prophesied by the prophets. Right? Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 31. Now this is a passage in the prophets. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. The Old Testament covenant was based on a law, fundamentally. So God is saying, I'm going to give you a new covenant. A new covenant, right? That is going to be based on a different reality. Verse 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. He will put His law within them, and upon their heart He will write it, and then He will become their God, and they will become His people. A relationship is established. So this new covenant is a relationship. We belong to God, and God belongs to us. He becomes our God. Are you listening? Right? Amen? So you're beginning to see what we read in the New Testament being explained through the prophets. This is what God wants to do. That He is going to teach you to be a people who belong to God. And He's going to unveil in your heart the conviction that God is your God. Praise the Lord. And this is a very powerful, right? Very powerful reality. Let's look at verse 34.
And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. They shall all know me. So this teaching process that God is bringing forth into your life, the underlying reality, the essential reality, the fabric, the heart of God's teaching you, is for you to come to know Him. And He says, the greatest and the least will all be taught of God. And no one will say we don't know God. They shall all know the Lord. They shall all know the Lord. So this is the new covenant that God is wanting to unfold. Right? So it is the law fulfilled. It is also the fulfillment of the prophets. Are you with me? And it's going to be manifested in the tablets of your heart. Amen? Are you listening? Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36 to see a further insight on this passage. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Amazing. What could not be done under the law, God brings to us through the fulfillment of the prophets. Are you with me? He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Right? In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, that water is described as the water of the Rhema word. Alright? The water of the Rhema word. So water is the action of the word inside of you. And God says, when the word of God touches you, you will be clean. And then He declares in verse 25 of Ezekiel 36, He says, I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Amen? Are you with me? So you find that when God teaches you, He is also cleaning you up. The word of God has inbuilt inside of us a cleaning action. As you accept the word of God, it starts cleaning you up. There are many different levels of acceptance of the word of God. As you understand more and more of the word of God and accept it, God starts building a covenant at a higher and higher level inside of you. But inherent in the building of that covenant is a reality of cleaning you and me up. Right? And He says, I will clean you from all of your filthiness and I will cleanse you from all of your idols. Whether they be idols of that are physical or idols that are spiritual, idols of self, idols of pride, idols of self-righteousness, He says, I will cleanse you up. But the key to the whole process working is that you must hear and accept the word of God. Amen? And then He will make you adequate for the purpose that He has for you. Okay? Verse 26, Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So He says now that He will give us a heart of flesh, which is what the New King James Bible is proclaiming. Right? Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. Right? He says, I will give you a new heart in your spirit. I will give you a new spirit. And then I will deal with the heart of stone that is in your soul. And I will replace your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Amen? When you have your spare time, go back and read John chapter 6, verse 51. And John chapter 6, verse 53. Jesus tells us, right, that flesh, right, is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. The bread I give to you is my flesh. He says that in John chapter 6, verse 51. All right? We shall not expound that today. Okay? But you need to understand that that heart of flesh is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's all I want to leave with you today. Okay? And so He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Next he says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. What does he say? I will cause you to change. That causing includes an enabling. That causing includes change and transformation. It includes strengthening. It includes renewing. It includes a regeneration. It includes the whole creative process. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And in causing you to walk in my statutes, I am building a relationship with you. Amen. So remember the words. It is God who makes us adequate for this new covenant. And you must bear, you must give ear to the word of God. You must hear it and accept it. Then it will work wonders in your life. It is not there for you to argue over. It is there for you to understand. All right? You know, many people spend their life arguing over the word of God instead of trying to understand it. It is the word of God. It has been written in an intelligence that is beyond all of us. Right? When we come to the word of God, we must understand it is the word of God. By definition, it is the word of God. By definition, God is talking a language higher than us. So when you go before God and say, teach me, right? It follows that God can only teach you if you are prepared to listen to him and accept what he says and make an effort to understand it. Your job is not there to question the word of God, right? Scholars who question the word of God never get anywhere with the word of God. In the end, they fall over their faces. In the end, they cannot understand anything in the word of God from the perspective of what God is saying. Right? And they become empty vessels making a whole lot of noise. Right? Speaking, right? In an understanding that has got no substance to it. It is just an empty, noisy, right? Mockery of knowledge. Don't fall into that. That's why the Bible says very carefully, Jesus tells us, make sure you hear it and you accept it. And I will bring the understanding inside of you. All right? I will cause you to walk in my statutes, says the Lord. I will cause you. I will bring into you the understanding. I will bring into you the changes. I will make you adequate. This is about what I can do. This is not about what you know. This is about me enabling you to know what I know, says the Lord. Right? So let's get the perspectives right. God is infinite, and we are very, very finite. So we sit at the feet of the Lord, and he teaches us. That perspective will never change. Lucifer thought he could change that, and it resulted in his downfall. He thought he could know something in himself, that he could understand something in himself, that he could be wise in himself. Now the human race has to get out of that sort of a thinking. We have to listen, accept, and ask the Lord to bring the understanding inside of us. Amen. That's why the book of Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 defines understanding as knowing the Holy One. Are you with me? Other translations put it as knowing the Holy. Knowing that which is perfect and pure. Alright, two perspectives to that. Knowing the Holy One, who he is and all that he is. Knowing the Holy, what stands in him as being perfect and complete. What stands in him as being pure and undefiled. All those are realities we don't have a blooming clue about. And we are going to hear and understand those things only if we sit at the feet of the Lord and ask him to teach us. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not hearing by your understanding, not hearing by your intellect, not hearing by your wisdom, not hearing by your IQ, not hearing by your EQ. It is hearing by the word of God. Right? You listen to what the word of God is saying and you say amen to it. Right? You listen to the word of God and your only answer to it should be amen. If you are willing to go before God with that kind of a perspective, God will take you to awesome realities. He will bless you and He will bless you and He will bless you and He will bless you. That's why Jesus in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 declares Himself as the Amen, the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. If you are willing to say Amen to the true and faithful witness that comes to you through the Word of God, God will do His creative work inside of you. And it is a beginning. It has got no end. It will just continue to grow in you as God develops you and unfolds you. And then you will know, behold, there is a God. Right? Do you understand all what we are saying here? God says, I will write my word inside of you. You will become my people. I will become my God. You will come to know me. Right? What are we trying to do? We are trying to do our puny intellect that cannot see God, and we are trying to evaluate whether God exists. Right? It's like an ant trying to evaluate a human being. Can an ant evaluate a human being? Assuming it is the most intelligent ant in the kingdom of the ants. Can a swine learn how to use pearls? Cannot, because it is by nature a swine. It will live like a swine. It may be the smartest swine in the world, but it is by nature a swine. So giving a garland of pearls to a swine is a waste of time. Right? Giving a garland to a monkey is also the waste of time. It may be the smartest monkey around. Right? But a monkey is by nature a monkey. So God is talking to us in very precise terms. If you hear my word, if you come to me on my terms, then you will know that I am real. And I will build everything inside of you on the fact that I am real. And you will not question it, and you will not ask silly questions. And the confidence of me will be built into your heart. The least of you to the greatest of you, you will all know me. Praise the Lord. So this awesome covenant of life that God wants to bring you into is a very important covenant. Right? God doesn't just teach you for the fun of it. He makes a covenant. There is nothing more definite than a covenant, by the way. A covenant has got definite clauses, it has got definite expressions of reality. Unlike the covenants of man, which are deliberately vague, or can only be defined up to a certain point, God's covenant is a covenant of light. He builds the covenant into your being. He unveils it in His wisdom, His understanding, His knowledge. That's why the book of Proverbs says that knowledge begins with the fear of God. Wisdom begins with the fear of God. Understanding unveils in the knowledge of the Holy One. Understanding unveils in the knowledge of the Holy. Praise the Lord. And all this God will bring into your life. Okay? At the center of it is your heart. So watch over your heart and don't let it wander. Don't let it wander into things that it should not wander into. Right? Let's turn to Jeremiah. Chapter 32, verse 38. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart. Hello? One heart. God gives you a new heart when you are born again. And then He works that reality into your heart of stone, and He creates a heart of flesh. Now it says here that there will one day you will have one heart. All right? And one way, that they may fear me always, for their own good and for the good of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, so that they will not turn away from me. Amen. Verse 40, I will read it again. I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put the fear of me in their hearts, so that they will not turn away from me. And I will rejoice over them to do them good. And I will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. Amen.
with all my heart and with all my soul. So this work of being taught by God involves all of his heart and all of his soul. Isn't it amazing? Hello. The fact that you and I are to be taught is a desire that involves all of God's heart and all of his soul. The fact that you and I are to be taught and to be brought in that process into an everlasting covenant involves all of God's heart and all of God's soul. Hello, it is not a small thing to be taught by God. Your willingness to be taught by God, your understanding and your confidence in being taught by God is something he desires to bring forth with all of his heart and with all of his soul. Can we be taught of God? Yes, brethren. Why? Because it is a reality that comes with all of God's heart and with all of God's soul. Hello, it cannot fail. It cannot fail, brethren. This is the word of the living God. And the word of the living God does not fail. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 6 and 7. For I will set my eyes on them for good. And I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them up and not overthrow them. And I will plant them and pluck and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. And they will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with their whole heart. You see, God wants to create in us a whole heart that belongs wholly to him. It is going to be one heart. It is going to be a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh is going to function at two levels. One in the spirit, one in your spirit and one in your soul. But it will be one heart. It will be a heart that functions in partnership. Hello. Not when we try and move in the spirit and we have very carnal desires in our soul. That kind of divergence will no longer be there. It will be one heart. Your soul will move by the spirit. Everything will be in its place. Amen. God would have done a great work. All those conflicting emotions that we find inside of us will all disappear. Oh, is this the will of God? Is this the way that God wants me to go? Is this God's way or is this something else? Is this of the flesh or is this of the spirit? All those kind of contradictions God will remove. He said, I will give you one heart, one way. Right? It will be a certain way. Amen. And that heart of flesh is defined to bring forth that way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. So that way is defined in his flesh. So as God teaches us his word, please pay attention to what he's trying to bring forth, because there's an awesome purpose in all of this. So all this is part of the prophets. So you see, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, right? Where God says, you are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. That whole thing is part and parcel of the fulfillment of the law and the fulfillment of the prophets. So at the heart of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets is this verse of God writing into your heart, of God causing you to walk by his spirit into his statutes, of God unveiling inside of you the reality of who he is and all that he is, that you will all be taught of God. Amen. That your adequacy is entirely from God. Brethren, don't forget these words. You must never lose sight of the fact that it is the purpose of God. It is the central theme of the scriptures to give you the testimony of the Lord. Amen. To give you the testimony of the Lord. Don't let the devil come and intellectually shake you and say you are not up to the mark. This has got nothing to do with your mark anyway. This has got everything to do with what God is able to bring forth. From the least to the greatest, they will all know me. They will all be taught of me. From the least to the greatest, they will all be taught of me. Praise the Lord. Don't forget that. So you see, being taught by God is the fundamental idea that you need to capture in your heart. So pray this through.
right? Ask the Lord to teach you. Remember it every day, right? Oh Lord, teach me, right? Unveil Jesus Christ to my heart, that I may know him, that I may receive his fullness, so that I will have a heart of flesh, so that I will be made adequate, so that I will become a servant of the new covenant, so that I will be led by your Spirit. I will be the work that you have unfolded. That work that you said involves all of your heart and with all of your soul. Amen? Hello, for us to say all of our heart and all of our soul is nothing much. For the infinite God to say all of his heart and all of his soul, that's a totally different ballgame. So let's hear what the Lord is saying. That God would want to do a work in someone like you and me with all of his heart and all of his soul is indeed incredible. It is indeed grace upon grace. So do not despise yourself. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. But look to what God is going to unfold. Right? Expect him to unfold it. Take hold of it. Make it your. Make what we have heard today, right? Yours. Okay? Make it yours. Accept it. Receive it. And expect it to be performed in your life. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Precious and holy Father, we bless you and thank you. That in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, there is an underlying reality of us all being taught by you, Father. It is your purpose, O God, to teach all of us so that we will know you, Father, from the least of us to the greatest of us, Father. That we will indeed understand and know that you are our God. That we will have a heart that is entirely the workmanship of the living God. A whole heart, a pure heart. A clean heart. A clean heart constructed in the flesh of the Lamb. And so, Father, as we pray that as we go into this teaching program, Father, that this reality of the fulfillment of the law and the prophets in each one of us being taught by you will be central to in our heart, Father. It will be the witness that will carry us, Father. It will be the conviction, O God, that will carry us throughout this program that you are going to teach us. And you are going to bring into us life. You are going to bring forth in us, O God, that newness of life that will enable us to hear you, know you, love you. And there will be a way opened inside of us. It will be a precise way. It will be a way full of light. It will be a way defined with understanding, with confidence, with conviction. It will be the way, O God, opened in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding, Lord. It will be, O God, the way in which, O God, we will know and know and know, Father. All things in accordance with your will and your purpose. So bless each one of us, O God, that we may receive your word, that we may realize your word, so that we will truly understand that all things come as you make us adequate for it, Father. So we bless you and thank you for the intents and desires of your heart. We bless you and thank you, Father, that it is the desire of all of your heart and all of your soul to see us come to know you, to see us come to receive and realize a living and everlasting covenant. A covenant of grace, a covenant of love, a covenant of mercy. A covenant that will enable us to stand before your mercy seat, Father. A covenant that will equip us, O God, to stand in a position before your throne of grace. So we bless you and thank you for your great and awesome purpose for each and every one of us, Father. We thank you for the awesome destiny that lies ahead of us in the name of Jesus. Give us that heart of flesh, Father. We pray this by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.